we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We trust you are having a really, really good day. And God is on the throne. I declare this is the day that the Lord has made. I'll do my, he's done his part. Now it's time for me to do my part. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God and our saints there and the partners that we have here that help bring this radio broadcast to you on a daily basis. So we want to say thank you to one of those sponsors right now. It is Creative AC Solutions, and they operate here in the central Brevard County. 759-3284 is how you could get a hold of Bill Andriak, and he has been working on air conditioners for a long, long time, heaters, and he can get you taken care of in good working order. And so if you need his services, why don't you give him a call? Maybe your last AC person hasn't been doing that good a job or whatever, and you want to give them a call, 759-3284, and he can get you ready for the heat. Yesterday on that broadcast, we were talking about the gift of faith and that it's a universal gift that is distributed by God to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet. Every person has been given the measure of faith. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit, or start off anyway on this broadcast, talking to you about another gift of faith. And so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because we're talking about creating a culture of faith. And that's what Abraham did in his house, that he became like the father of faith here. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, so there are several things that I want to point out to you, and these are gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. They are manifestations of the Spirit, and they're given to each one. Okay, now this is not the universal gift of faith that we talked about on yesterday's broadcast. This would be the corporal gift of faith, or the supernatural gift of faith. This would be faith that is distributed to the body of Christ for the benefit of the body of Christ. And that gift would manifest in one or more individuals, that the Holy Spirit is the one who determines these gifts. I don't know about you, but when it comes time for Christmas, and I start having to rack my brain and think, okay, what does this person want? What does this person want? What does this person want? It gets to be, pretty intensive, because I don't know what's going on in everybody's life. And so, you try and figure out, okay, what is something that they might appreciate and that they might use? And so there's always, or almost always, a little bit of uncertainty. And so the way that I take that uncertainty out of the equation is, especially if it's my wife, is I ask her. It's very simple, you know. And, you know, this last year, she had quite an extensive list. And but she had given me several things. And so then after I'd heard what she said, then I went and I asked the kids. I said, okay, what is it that mom, you know, wants? And they came up with an idea, and I said, you know what, I'm going to take that under heavy advisement. And I went and I looked, and that was what I ended up getting her. And in case you're wondering what it was a new set of pots and pans. And so, I mean, it's not a fancy gift. It most certainly wasn't a car with a bow on it. You know, she had the same pots and pans, and the one that she used the most was a little bitty cheap thing, and it was just a real pain to try and clean and everything. And so I wanted to help her, and you know, you might not think it was very romantic, but I'm going to tell you something. She absolutely loves those gifts, loves those pots and pans. And so that's what I got. So, you know, when I don't know what was going on and I wanted to give her something useful, I asked her, then I asked people who knew her. But that is not the way that the Holy Spirit operates. The Holy Spirit knows what is going to be beneficial, not just for the individual, but for the church as a whole. And the Holy Spirit gives these gifts to benefit the ministry and the body of Christ at its very existence. And so you might be going through a situation, and all of a sudden there is a person inside the body or inside your local congregation that says, I've got faith to believe that God is going to touch that situation. We just had that recently happen in one of our services. One week, a person said that they just felt in the spirit that a person that they did not know, by a name they did not know, had been healed of a condition or was going to be healed of a condition. And another person said, I know a person by that name, and we prayed for them, and they're doing wonderfully. So we thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a gift that's not available to all of mankind. This is not that gift of faith. It's not that measure of faith. This is a supernatural gift or manifestation of the Holy Spirit, because there is a special urgency or need for faith to be exerted on behalf of the body of Christ. When this gift is in operation, the church is going to be made stronger. There are going to be signs and wonders that take place. But I want you to see, it is not for the ego of the one who is being utilized in the gift. A lot of times people look at these gifts and they say, oh, look at me, I function in this gift and that gift and this one over here. And it becomes almost like a merit badge contest. Like, okay, how many of these gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 do you have in operation in your life? Well, it's not up to me. It is the Holy Spirit. It says in verse number 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay? And so this is not even something that I could be praying for at a specific amount of time, but I could be praying for a person in the congregation, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit births faith in my heart so that I can believe in a supernatural manner for God to work in that situation. So I encourage you, you need to be connected to a local body of believers. You need to be in a Bible preaching church. You need to be in a church where the gift of faith is not just given to where it's manifest in a universal you know, the universal gift of faith, where it's given to every man, woman, boy, and girl for the purpose of coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you need to be there because you may be the person that the Holy Spirit wants to empower with a supernatural gift of faith for the benefit of the rest of that congregation. You need to be in a local congregation because someone in that congregation may be used by God to operate in a supernatural gift of faith for the benefit of a problem that you need a solution to. I've said it for years. I will say it again today. I do not understand how people survive without a local congregation. And I will add another one. I don't understand why they would try and survive spiritually without being actively involved in a local congregation. And you might say, well, you don't know what happened here, and you don't know what happened there, and this happened to me. And I can understand that not everything that happens to individuals in a local church is going to necessarily be perfect. Merit Assembly of God is not perfect. We have not handled every situation that has ever arisen perfectly. On the same hand, not everybody who has come through the church who named the name of Jesus Christ has treated us perfectly. You know what? The grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient. And so we've never been afraid to repent where we may have made a mistake. And we are not in the grudge nursing business, but we are in the forgiving business. In the NIV, there's a passage that talks about a person who nursed an ancient hostility. And I get, you know, the way my imagination works, I get very vivid pictures going through my head. And there's a couple of different pictures that take place when I view those words. One is an infant that could not take care of itself, nursing at its mother, and that grudge, if we would just not nurse it the way that we would nurse an infant, that grudge would cease to exist. And so I encourage you today, don't be feeding that thing. The other picture that I get is of a patient in an intensive care unit that is hooked up to all of these machines that are trying to keep this grudge alive. And it might, those emotions might come because you keep rehearsing it over and over and over again. They may keep coming up because of the company that you're keeping, or there's a group of people that have been victimized in this manner, and they keep reliving it over and over and over again. The greatest revelation about a year of Jubilee for me was that God spoke and said, you know what? You can't just say, hey, my debts are canceled because it said so in the word, and I'm not going to pay my mortgage payment anymore. That doesn't work well. But what God did say was this: but you can release anybody who's wounded you or hurt you. You can release them from any grudge or offense that you have been carrying on their behalf. And so I would encourage you today to, if you've been avoiding church because something painful happened, find a church where you can get in there. We like to refer to Merit Assembly of God as a spiritual hospital. And so we've had a number of people that have come through our doors in the 23 years that we've been there. And so our youth and children's ministries, they just joined us this last Sunday, and so we're very excited for them to be here. But I will tell you, from a minister standpoint, there have been wounds inflicted throughout my ministry, before I was a senior pastor, after I was senior pastor, it doesn't really matter. Those wounds come, and we just say, you know what, we're a spiritual hospital, and God's grace is sufficient. And so we pray for God to heal the wounds, and then we just pick up and carry on. We just go on. An evangelist came through one time at our church, and he said, you know, if they wound me, God will heal me. If they kill me, I get to go be with Jesus. So it's a win-win situation. And so I pray that you would not deprive yourself of this gift of faith that is available. Now, it can happen in a number of different ways. I mean, it doesn't just happen inside the four walls of the church. It could happen through I've known people who had a supernatural gift of faith that was imparted to them as they were watching a televangelist who was praying for the sick, and as they were calling out a sickness, then they just had faith arise in their hearts, kind of like Peter and John, and that they walked in and there was the man at the gate, beautiful. There was another episode where they saw that the man had faith to be made whole. Let faith arise. It's not anything that you can work up. It is an impartation. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you, let the Holy Spirit live in operation, and let's operate with that, not just the faith for salvation, thank God for that, but let's operate with the supernatural gift of faith for the edification of the body of Christ. So I want to take you now to the next point, and that is that faith is a lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle. If you are in the Old Testament, there's the book of Habakkuk. It's pretty close to the end of the Old Testament. You got Malachi and Zechariah, and you got Habakkuk that is right before Zephaniah and Haggai. So about five books from the end of the Old Testament, you will find a little book of Habakkuk, and it's only three chapters long. And so let me set the stage for you, because Habakkuk is greatly concerned. Let me just read to you verses 2-4, and it says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds." So let me tell you what Habakkuk is experiencing here. And that is, he's experiencing the distress of a righteous man in an unrighteous nation. Godlessness or ungodliness was running rampant during Habakkuk's time. And so he looked and he said, "God, this distresses me." And listen to what he says. There's violence. He would have iniquity revealed to him. He would see the trouble. He would see the plundering and the violence. And it says there is strife and contention arises. In other words, there was a great deal of unrest in the nation. There was violence. There was brother against brother. There was a great deal of strife and discord. And it says, as a result of this, that the law was rendered powerless. Because of all of this corruption that was running in, that the law was rendered powerless. Now, when the law is powerless, you are left with anarchy. You are left with people doing what is right in their own eyes. You can see that takes place in the book of Judges, that they served while Joshua was alive, and they served while the elders who were contemporaries of Joshua were alive. But after that, there began to be a falling away, and what ended up happening was everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that is anarchy. You will see lawlessness arise. There are people who will not want to do the wrong thing. And so Habakkuk is seeing all of this, and it is distressing to him. And so he makes it a matter of prayer. And if I can ask you today and pray, not just because you see the problem, but to pray in faith, because and maybe somebody who's listening today, your faith level, your supernatural faith will arise to a whole new level and believe for revival, because if it happened in the scriptures, it can happen again. If God's done it before, he's still capable of doing it again. If he did it for the nation of Judah, he can do it for us. God has demonstrated over and over again that just because a society devolves into anarchy or lawlessness and immorality and a falling away of the standards of God, it does not mean that there is not the capability of revival. He has done it before. He can do it again. And so I pray somebody listening today will get a supernatural impartation of faith to believe for revival in America with us, revival here in Brevard County again. You know, there were recent discussions of a very disturbing nature in one of our Brevard County communities, just really, really quite disturbing. And so we need somebody to step up and pray. And so that is what is going on in Habakkuk. And he says, God, how long are you going to let this wickedness abound? How long is it going to be until you act? And verses 5 through 11 describes God's response, and his response to Habakkuk is basically this: don't worry, Habakkuk, I've got this. I'm going to bring the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. I'm going to bring them, and I'm going to use them as the instrument of judgment against the people of Judah, and they are going to come in, and they're going to be my agent of correction. Well, now when Habakkuk gets that answer, in verses 12 through 17, he says, well, God, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment, O Rock. You have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Listen to this question. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? And so Habakkuk begins to say, God, how can you use the Chaldeans? They're more wicked than what Judah is. And then we come to chapter 2. And he says in verse number 1, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. And so Habakkuk says, now I'm going to wait and I'm going to hear what God has to say. I said, God, how long, you know, until you deal with unrighteous Judah? And God said, don't worry, I'm going to bring the Babylonians and we're going to deal with this. And he says, God, how can you use the Babylonians when they're more wicked than we are? And this is what God's answer to him in chapter 2, verse 2 is, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And God says, this vision that I'm going to give you, it is for an appointed time. It is going to happen. God continues in verse 4, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. So we're not going to be able to get through all of this today on this broadcast, but I wanted to share with you the background on this. We'll move on to the lifestyle portion a little bit. And so God's basic answer to Habakkuk was this: I'm going to use Babylon to deal with Judah and their wickedness, but don't worry, Habakkuk, I'm not going to leave the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. I'm not going to leave them without me dealing with them. He says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. There are a lot of people who live by their arrogance. They live by their bravado. I would much rather deal with a person who's humble than I would with a person who's arrogant. I would rather deal with a person who says, you know what, I may not have all of the answers, but together with God, you and I have availability to the wisdom of heaven, and God's got a solution. And so God says, don't worry about the Babylonians. I'm going to deal with them. It says specifically about pride that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I believe that God hates pride in every arena of life. I believe he hates it in our schools. I believe he hates it in our businesses. I believe he hates it in our courts. I believe he hates it in our government. I believe he hates it in our politicians. I believe he hates it in our sports figures and our celebrities. I believe that God even hates pride, especially in the church. And he says, behold, I'm going to do, and he says, whenever you and I are walking around in a proud or an arrogant spirit, listen to this, his soul is not upright in him. Pride is an indicator of a soul that is out of alignment. I'm going to say that again. Pride is an indicator of a soul that is out of alignment. In your life, my life, everybody's life, if we are manifesting pride and arrogance, it is actually a warning light to us that we need to get back into the presence of God. We need to be humbled by the awesomeness of his presence. And so it says, but the just shall live by his faith. So he's saying, yes, I'm using a proud nation to bring judgment to my people. By the way, the scripture says judgment begins at the house of the Lord. We want judgment to begin in Washington. We want judgment to begin in Hollywood. We want judgment to begin everywhere else. And actually, God wants judgment to begin with us. And quite frankly, it doesn't just begin at the house of the Lord. It begins with the spiritual leadership inside the house of the Lord. And so if we will get ourselves right as spiritual leaders here in Brevard County, then God will manifest it. He will carry it on further, and it will manifest with correction inside the church, which will extend to our communities, which will then extend to our nation, which will then extend to the rest of the world. We do not have to live by pride. We are called to live by faith. And remember what we were talking about on a recent program is this. Let not us think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Can we allow God to show us a different lifestyle instead of arrogance? Instead, can we ask him to let us live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, I pray right now, any area of our life where arrogance has gained a toehold, God, everywhere that it's trying to manifest itself in our society, would you deal with it? Lord, begin with me. Begin with the pastors and the board members. God, begin with the church and cause humility to once again be known. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.